Welcome to the Dr. Connect podcast, the home for open conversations, where top experts share their experiences and empower you with transformative education around cancer, health, wellness, and medical technology. If you're looking for better health, global partnership, and want to make a social impact, you've come to the right place. From sacrifice to celebration and the answers on how to turn your life around, please welcome your host, medical oncologist, Dr. Ludmilla Schaefer.
Welcome to the Dr. Connect Show, a home for open conversation about cancer, health, wellness, and medical technology. I'm your host, Dr. Ludmilla Schaefer, and today our episode is about what is it amygdala and why do we need to learn about this, as well as about heart health, lifestyle, and we have a very special guest. Our first guest is Dr. Jared Patton. He's a pediatrician, life coach, best-selling author. Our second guest is Dr. Kinga Mnich. She's a social psychologist, educator, and speaker. And also at the end of the show, we have answer questions in cancers. Please submit your questions at thedoctorconnect.org. And with that, we start from what is it amygdala? Where is amygdala located in the brain? It's located within temporal lobes. View brain as three brains for the purpose of this show. So on the whiteboard, I'm going to draw cortex. So I'm drawing brain, and this is a cortex. So cortex responsible for critical thinking, for immediate function and decisions that you are making very calculated. Lower on the second part, I'm drawing brainstem. And the brainstem responsible for functions like breathing and heart pumping. In the middle, located middle brain. So I'm drawing a middle brain, and there is where amygdala is the part of limbic system. So here in the middle, about size of almond or about 1 inch, located amygdala, and I'm drawing that with my red marker. So this is where amygdala located. Imagine you are in a great mood. You walk in a grocery store and you hear music and a song playing that you've never heard before and touches your heart. Or maybe this is a song that you actually heard in the past and it really brings a lot of emotions. And all of a sudden, from great mood, you go to kind of a little bit sad and maybe a little bit worried. That's exactly when amygdala takes over. It's like a smoke detector in our body. Why it's important to know about amygdala? Because several studies show that people lose about 15-20 pounds of their IQ if they actually react in anger. Have you ever had that you actually done something spontaneous, fast, and then you thought, why did I do so stupid? That's when amygdala takes over. The amygdala triggers your emotions faster than actually your conscious awareness. To understand chemistry, love, hate in relationship, that's when amygdala plays a role. Write a love letter to your amygdala. It does allow for us to increase number of those responses. Next time, when we face something, we will act a little bit more rational. What can we do and how we can relax amygdala? For example, there are several steps we can take. If we experience some immediate trigger, for example, we walk in a room and we hear something, boom, or you walk, for example, in the subway or out of the car and you step and it's kind of whole. So you get checked, so you have emotions. Now, next time when you in that spot or maybe hear some additional boom, you already have additional mechanism that you kind of can train and adjust. We also see a lot of times that people experience with a post-traumatic stress disorder. That's when we can learn to manage, how to manipulate, how to make friends with your amygdala. When we're in love, amygdala is sleeping. But we have any trigger, emotional mechanism, that's when amygdala swells. So what can we do to make, relax, make friends with our amygdala, but also kind of have a little bit resistance when it's important? There are three ways. Number one, relax. Do mindfulness or maybe meditation. Number two, you can check with your body. For example, such as deep breathing. Number three, you can take actions such as do yoga or maybe go for a walk or experience additional situation what actually makes you more relaxed. Some people just exercise, some run. So that's how understand and modify behavior that can help you to be more stable and discover what did you do and how can you manage yourself to be more stable in the next emotional situation. And why do you need to know about amygdala and limbic system? So then you can make constant rational decisions and keep your emotions in check. We make decisions day after day, and to be aware, it actually helps to downplay the emotion. I can let my rational mind and thinking through whether it's useful for me or not, have that emotional check and reaction. Am I safe? So we don't have to wait for emotions to too much increase or get laid down. So get to know your amygdala. Be friends with your amygdala. If you're looking to success in 2022, stay tuned. I have my new book coming up that help you harness your power and implement realistic success plans to become a better leader, both personally and professionally. I'm so excited to introduce our first guest, Dr. Jared Patton. He is a pediatrician. He is served on leadership positions. He is a speaker, life coach, and a best-selling author. Dr. Jared, welcome to the Dr. Connect Show. Thank you very much for being our guest.
Thanks for having me on, Dr. Schaefer.
Before we start about so many things, can you please tell us about the lifestyle? You know, right now, many professionals, as well as anyone who stays at home and families, every single person, so much concerned about our lifestyle. What can we do in our life to make it healthier and better?
Some of the things that you have to do with your life begin with how you start your day. And getting yourself into a good morning routine is one thing that can demonstrate less chaos in your life, better heart health, and a better outlook on your day.
So for everyone, how can we see ourselves and make it actually implement? We all know that we want to do this and we have so many new plans, but what steps can we take today? Wake up in the morning and listen to your message and actually start doing right now, right this moment.
What you have to do is prepare yourself for the journey. And I know a lot of people spend time around the change of the year. They're getting themselves into a new mode, a new frame of thinking. They maybe have even New Year's resolutions that are out there. And these things are good goals for you to adjust your life. But what you have to do upfront and most often is make sure that you are feeling at your best. And you can keep feeling at your best by doing the things that the doctor always orders. Make sure you're getting enough sleep, making sure you're watching the nutrition that you're putting into your body, and of course, getting that exercise.
So are any specific tools you can actually tell us about life?
Yes. One of my favorite tools that I love to use are affirmations. Using affirmations on a daily basis helps retrain your mind for all of those things that are chaotic. We know the last 2 years have been absolute turmoil on our lives, living through this pandemic. And we need to retrain our mind that everything is not going to be doom and gloom. Everything is not coming toward us that's going to be a bad thing in life. But these affirmations train the mind to open up to the world of possibilities that are out there. And people say that with affirmations, they may look at something and say, oh, you're just making a bunch of stuff up. No, it is a statement that you put in front of yourself. You read, you listen to it. You might even put it on your mirror while you're brushing your teeth in the day. And your mind is trained to believe that. And not only that, these things start to manifest in your life. And it comes back to that routine. It comes back to the repetition and how you start your day. One of the ways to lower your stress in life is to have an organized schedule. And this is something I teach parents who are bringing up their children. This is something that I talk to the parents in their own lives. And having that predictable schedule is one thing that will lower your stress. So if you add affirmations into your daily life. And maybe you might want to change one every other day. You may want to change one every day. Maybe some people even do one in the morning, one in the afternoon once you become advanced. But you use this as a tool to change your life.
And how do you do this changing tools? Is anything specific you can recommend?
Yes. Number one, schedule it as a part of your day. You're going to take the 5 to 10 minutes it takes. Put that into yourself, because all too often we're taking care of this person, that person. We're running off to our work and we don't get to take care of ourselves.
And you are as a pediatrician. What health tools you can help families, especially with children?
Yes. The basics start really upfront in the very beginning. One of the most common things people come to me is like, oh, my child is a picky eater, or my child doesn't sleep right, or my child doesn't do this or that. And behavior modification is very simple. But as a parent, you have to get these things in front of your kids and say, all right, let's look at this behavior that we want to modify. We'll use picky eating as an example, because nutrition is not only important to you, it's important to your children.
With Valentine's Day coming up, would you have any specific health recommendations or suggestions or modifications?
I think February is a great time to really worry about your heart health. And we can talk about it in two phases. One, let's look at your children. We say, oh, well, kids, they have healthy hearts. They're beating all the time. They're strong. They're healthy. But they don't stay that way forever. So these lessons that you start early in kids with making sure that they're getting the amount of activity that they need of 1 to 2 hours a day, physical activity, making sure they're putting the right things inside of their body is important, because not only does it affect their health immediate in the short term, it actually sets up habits for the long term. Now, you may be asking yourself, well, okay, as a parent, I'm under stress. As an adult, I have these conditions, and it is time to think about your heart health as well. The thing that I want you to do in the month of February is show yourself some love. Show yourself some love. Give yourself the time that you need, because times are as difficult as they are. We have pressures of the pandemic. We have pressures of inflation. We have all different types of things coming at you with time. We want to make sure that you are taking the time for yourself, because if you don't take the time for yourself, you're not going to be good for anybody.
And what are the main 3 tips would you share with our audience?
Yes. Well, I have some great tips that I want you guys to consider, particularly getting through this season as far as your heart health. And if you're looking at your overall life and where stress occurs in your life, a lot of times stress occurs within your job. And so there's a couple of things that people may want to do to consider adjusting their jobs during this time. So one, I always want you to recalculate your finances, because what forces people into jobs they don't like, They simply want a paycheck. They want to get paid. They don't care what the job is. They start the job and they're miserable and their stress levels rise. And yes, that affects your heart health. Number two, I want you to recover your confidence because we've gone through a number of changes throughout this pandemic that have been unpleasant. We've probably lost friends and family. And sometimes we just get shattered by all of that. So I want you to recover your confidence. One, by taking care of yourself. Two, by making a new practice in your life, like taking in affirmations. And three, making sure you get the exercise that you need every day. And then my third tip for everyone is, hey, look, if your job is causing you too much stress right now, this is the perfect time to redefine your career. Take a list of all the things that you like, all the things that you don't like, and simply have a clean slate. Redefine your career. The world is open.
Thank you very much, Dr. Jared, for being on the Dr. Connect show. And how do people can connect with you?
Hey, you can find me all on social media at Dr. Jared.
Our guest is Dr. Kinga Mnich. She is a psychologist, she's a speaker, and leverages the power of emotions to be more effective in their role and living in everyday life. Dr. Mnich lived in three continents. She developed financial freedom and grew global network. So please welcome Dr. Mnich.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me today. I'm a social psychologist. I did my PhD on emotions and masculinity in high security prison facilities in South Africa. So that's a little bit about the more present backstory, I guess. But my story started a little bit earlier, you know, already throughout my teenage years when I was really trying to figure out what it is that I want to do. I grew up as a refugee and immigrant in Germany. And so had really the chance to kind of like live between different cultures, but also learn to navigate between cultures and learn what it means, you know, to be exposed consistently to people that don't necessarily speak the language that you are currently being surrounded by. I was very fortunate to have parents that always told me that I should do the things that make me happy. They said, you know, education is important, and yes, you need to make money, but also far and foremost is like, we did this whole thing so you can be free. And freedom, you know, really means for them to be able to do what fulfills you. So when you're asking about the story and all of that, maybe my entire 20s very much on the search of what is it that fulfills me. Mm. My story about, like, I worked for the Anne Frank Museum in Frankfurt. I worked for Mergen Acquisition Bank and studied multiple degrees. And it was really interesting to see my peers, you know, go into professions and know exactly this is what I'm going to be doing. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to be doing this for the next 15, 20, 30 years, most likely even my whole life. And I thought, I don't know yet enough to be able to settle down. Like, I need to know more. I need to be able to learn more. And so that really brought me also to South Africa. And South Africa was really the place that kind of widened my perspective to what it actually means to be satisfied and experience. Now, depending on which hormones are within our body at a given stage, we feel more strong. We feel more like clear in our mind. It's easier to make difficult decisions. And there are days where it's just more difficult for us. And I think it's so important for us to dig even deeper into that knowledge and understand exactly, A, how can we improve specific stages, meaning, right, like you went out for the weekend, you partied the whole weekend, you ate things maybe that are not, you know, sustainable, necessary for your body. You had some alcohol, you're waking up in the morning and you're just, you know, you have this fog in your mind. And there is like the next day, you know, that you need to make a really important decision after or a really big presentation. So what is it that you can do in order to tweak what's actually happening within you? And we can, right? We can eat the right food in order to cleanse our liver. We can drink specific teas. There are so many things that are at hand that are so simple that can help us to feel more powerful. So understanding that rhythm and understanding what it is that we are doing also feel like makes us take responsibility. You know, I mean, it can be as simple as understanding what your sleeping patterns should be, you know, being honest with yourself. And maybe the time for you to go to bed is actually 9:30 or 10, you know, instead of watching for another hour TV or, you know, reading a book on your Kindle instead of just, you know, on regular paper. So I think that overall, you know, like people talk about the 80-20 rule when it comes to eating. And I think almost like there's an 80-20 rule to our mindset. You know, I think that we can really for 20%, it doesn't matter what we do, as long as for 80%, we are building on our base, you know, and supporting that base on a continuous basis. Going to bed every evening at the same time, you know, is actually something very simple. Right? You just turn off your TV. I don't know, like my phone goes automatically into flight mode at 7 p.m. and that's it. Like we have so much technology around us that we can actually trick our own habits till the habit becomes a source of energy. So here's the thing. Our brain produces a byproduct, which is technically trash throughout the day, throughout thinking. So we're talking, we're thinking, everything that we're doing, everything needs brain activity. And in order to get rid of that, we need to sleep. If you're not sleeping and if you're not getting your REM cycles, you're not getting rid of all the trash that is inside your brain. I mean, emotions are everywhere. Emotions are part of our human existence. And it's really interesting when people say, don't be so emotional, you know, be more rational. That are not two separate things. That are two processes that are interconnected and always run parallel. But what we can do is understand that as much our thinking is a process and not our identity, the process of feeling is also just a process, meaning something that comes and goes. And that allows us to also kind of understand how we can better navigate with our emotions, especially with the difficult ones. Because how often do we actually feel really great for weeks and we never pay attention to it? And then something happens and, you know, we don't feel good. And then, oh my God, it's so overwhelming. And that overwhelming feeling doesn't come just because the emotion is so intense, but also because we don't pay attention necessary to the opposite. So in my work, what I do is I work with emotions.
And today, our question submitted from the audience on what is CAR T cell therapy? Well, CAR T cell therapy is a new form of immunotherapy. CAR stands for chimeric antigen receptor therapy. And today, I ask Dr. Jan Leifman, physician scientist, to comment about CAR T cell therapy. But before we start, I tell that the T cells, it's a hard-working employees of immune system. And we take, separate them, engineer them, modify so they can produce receptors. CAR T cell therapy, it's a part of immunotherapy. Word chimera actually comes from Greek mythology, and it represents like animal with the different parts of the body. It's like body of the goat and then the other parts of the lion. And it used in decorative uses. But that's not what CAR T. CAR T therapy is those the T cells that have developed specific receptor, educated T cells, toward antigen that on tumor cells. And this therapy been used already for many generations. And it's known pretty much since 1980. And now we have newer generations. So Dr. Leifman, answer question, what CAR T therapy?
B cells are the main cells responsible for producing the antibodies. And T cells are the cells that essentially prime the immune system to fight various types of pathogens, viruses, cancers, bacteria, etc. And we essentially are modifying, because CAR T cell therapy is essentially synthetic biology. We are modifying and co-opting the functionality of these cells to recognize whatever condition we are trying to target, and then essentially reining in the whole immune system to go in, attack it, and hopefully beat it. We have shown and produced immense efficacy in blood cancers, with some patients essentially being cured just using this therapy. And now it's progressing towards solid. The most important thing is to find a physician who one trusts. B because essentially when, let's say, we're speaking from the arena of oncology, the physician and the patient are essentially a team. And the physician is kind of like the coach and the patient is kind of like the player. And the physician is there assessing the situation, prescribing therapies, and adjusting as needed so that what we call the definition of winning the game is beating the cancer. The next thing is important to have a very strong support system from family to friends and also support system in the hospital as well. Cancer is a team sport, and it's very important to have good players on your side.
Thank you very much for being with us on the Dr. Connect show. And please subscribe to our YouTube channel, The Dr. Connect, as well as submit your questions on thedrconnect.org. We are so thrilled and excited because we have podcast coming at the end of February. And please, we would love to hear from you. And if you like what you learn or what you hear, please send us a question or comment what you like about the show. Thank you so much for being on this journey with us. And we are looking forward to seeing you in the next one.
Thanks for listening to the Dr. Connect podcast. If you like what you heard, please take a moment to leave us a rating and let us know what you think. Do you have a question, an idea for a topic, or would you like to share your experiences or expertise? Reach out to Dr. Ludmilla Schaefer at thedrconnect.org. And don't forget to follow Dr. Schaefer on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Check out the show notes for all the links. Thanks again for listening. We look forward to connecting with you soon.